WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Linguist Jeff Nunberg, who contributes commentaries to our show, is spending the year working in France. He's keeping an eye on the Gallic cultural landscape and has these observations.
We celebrated the bicentenary of our revolution in July of 1976 and had done with it. Like the revolution itself, it was a one-shot deal. But the French celebration of the bicentenary of their revolution has been a much more drawn-out and anguished process. The anniversary of the fall of the Bastille 4 years ago was like our celebration, all son and lumière. But now the French are commemorating the rather more unpleasant events of 1793. The risings, the massacres of revolutionaries and counter-revolutionaries alike, the execution of the king and queen, and above all, the terror when the revolution began to devour its children. All of this has led to a certain amount of retrospective reevaluation, along with a swell of nostalgia for the Ancien Régime. 10,000 people showed up at a ceremony in the Place La Concorde in Paris last January on the 200th anniversary of the beheading of Louis XVI. And more thousands appeared for a requiem mass for the Queen this October, the anniversary of her execution. But the most telling evidence for a monarchical comeback can be found every night at the Palais des Sports, which is an indoor stadium on the outskirts of Paris. Every night, 4,000 spectators fill the arena for a performance of Robert Ossin's production, My Name Was Marie Antoinette. The play is a pretty wooden retelling of the Queen's trial, but with a gimmick. At the end of the second act, the audience is asked to vote on the fate of the Queen: death, prison, exile, or acquittal. Acquittal has been the usual winner, but when I went to see the play on a Saturday night in October, the most votes went to exile, followed by acquittal, then prison, with death a distant fourth. The exile verdict was duly acted out, and then, so nobody would feel deprived of the opportunity to witness an execution, they enacted the guillotining as well. Now, it's true Marie Antoinette wasn't the monstrous harpy or the debauchee her enemies made her out to be. Personally, the worst that can be said of her was that she was self-indulgent and insensitive to the obligations of her office. On the other hand, as the Jacobin Saint-Just observed, one cannot reign in innocence. Marie Antoinette may never have actually said, "Let them eat cake," when told that the people had no bread. But she squandered vast sums on jewels, gowns, and presents to friends on a scale that even Imelda Marcos might have thought intemperate. She meddled in politics, and she sent letters to her brother, the Emperor of Austria, informing him of French troop movements at a time when France and Austria were close to war. In the circumstances, exile would have been getting off pretty lightly. But the point of all these commemorations is not to set the historical record straight. The French have never ceased listening to what the historian Eric Hobsbawm calls the echoes of the Marseillaise, as every generation looks for a tune it can dance to. Right now, France is in the midst of a precipitate shift to the right, and the anniversary of the terror seems a ready-made reminder of the excesses that a zeal for social justice can lead to. A couple of weeks ago, there was a ceremony in the Vendée region in the west of France to inaugurate a memorial to the royalist counter-revolutionaries who were massacred in 1793. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was there and warned that all revolutions are wrong and inevitably lead to cruelty and violence. That's what the French are hearing now in the echoes of the Marseillaise, but this will surely change again a couple of years from now when they come to celebrating the bicentenaries of all those Napoleonic victories. It's a tune that's hard to get out of your head, the Marseillaise, whereas the echoes of Yankee Doodle you can listen for in vain.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University.